I knew you'd come.
Owl Man Beefy.
Want to wrestle?
We got two words for ya!
Glorious! No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious.
You are listening to Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast with your host, the Supreme Dream and the Irish Nightmare.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, and I am the Irish Nightmare.
And I am the Supreme. Sorry. Supreme Dream.
So, on today's show, since the last time we recorded, it was the Superstar Shakeup happened on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, and a lot has changed. 21 going to Raw, 17 to SmackDown, and the landscape of WWE is really, really different at this point now.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype around this, and, I mean, for good reason. I mean, a lot changed. Some really good surprises that were brought up that we thought were going to get brought up the night after ended up coming up at the Superstar Shakeup. So, I mean, all in all, I think that they did a really good job with it. I think they did a better job showing it on Raw, not so much a great job showing it on SmackDown.
I agree.
But, I mean, you really have the extra hour to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
They still did those little tweets and whatnot, like, oh, this guy went to here, and he didn't see it until the next day. You're like, oh, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, exactly. And today what we're going to do is, typically, I usually cover SmackDown, and The Dream usually covers Raw. We're going to switch it up a little bit and defend the other and go over what we think this show has the better roster and who got the better of what deal. So I'm going to start with Monday Night Raw, which I think got a lot of... I don't know if I want to say a lot of bigger names. There are some heavy hitters that went to Monday Night Raw that I think are really, really going to help Raw, especially with the guys that are still there with a Roman Reigns, with a Seth Rollins. Those two getting guys like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Roode, even a Jinder Mahal, who I'm not really that big a fan of, but he's a very good heel. I mean, he's been playing a good heel for a while now. Granted, it's the same thing over and over. I understand that. I'm not a big fan of him myself.
He's in that gray area. Are you cheering? Are you booing him because he's being heel? Or are you booing him because you don't want to see him anymore?
Yeah, exactly. It's the Roman Reigns boo.
Myself,
no. I hear other people say how much they love him because he's such a great heel. I don't know if I agree with that, but I see a lot of people saying it.
I mean, I agree that he's a jerk-off, but...
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm booing him because I think he's playing a great heel.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, also, guys like Mike Kanellis, I think, is going to be a good addition to Monday Night Raw, as well as Chad Gable, who's athletic as hell and a monster when it comes to the suplex.
Only problem is, I think he weighs under 205 pounds.
Does he really?
He might.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to let
that... He's probably pushing, like, legit weight. He's probably only pushing, like, 190.
Yeah, you might be right. I didn't even think about that. But I mean, another Baron Corbin, who's another one I really don't. I just think is another stagnant one who's kind of going by the wayside. I just with them, like the mid card guys, really, really hurt Raw with a Mojo Rawley, with the Ascension, with Zack Ryder. I really, really like Breezango. Tyler Breeze and
they
Fandango.
Just beat the bar. That was kind of their parting gift for who they put over, and they decided they wanted to put over the Fashion Police.
Yeah.
So maybe that they start doing something with them again, which would be nice.
Yeah, I mean,
they
hope
got a huge ovation.
Yes.
And I think my favorite line of the two nights was when Tyler Breeze called Sheamus Hera a Mahawk. And he gave him a ticket for his Mahawk. That was freaking priceless.
Yeah, I mean, those two definitely know how to do comedy, and they're really good backstage.
And they're really good in the ring, too. I don't know what... I mean, they have a connection with the fans. I don't know what where the connection falls in the back.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Breeze in NXT, anyone who's seen him during his NXT run, was one of the top. And that's saying a lot because he was there with Finn Balor and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I think that was one of Finn Balor's...
Yes, main biggest, rivals was, yes. So, I mean, he has it. Fandango can wrestle, and he hasn't gotten... Even since that feud with Jericho, that
he
Mania.
Beat Jericho at WrestleMania. You would think that you're in line for a huge push after that.
Exactly. So, but he hasn't really gotten his due since that match. People stopped Fandangoing, so they kind of forgot about him. He wasn't as over as he once was. But this Fashion Police thing has brought them back, did bring them back, and then they got stale on SmackDown, which is why they're on Monday Night Raw now.
They also didn't do it right on SmackDown. They gave you these, they started off strong and giving you these really good promos and these goofy things in the back, and then they like went completely bizarre with it, and everyone's stopped caring.
I mean,
that's what's going to happen. I mean, you're not going to feature them the way they should, people aren't going to care about them.
Yeah, but I mean, the one thing that we have said is that they are very light on the heel aspect as far as face-to-heel ratio when it comes to Monday Night Raw. You have a Kevin Owens who's one of the best, but you lose a Miz.
Yeah, they're like 1-3 ratio when it comes to really like your baby faces and your heels. You have Kevin Owens, and then you got Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, and...
In their eyes, Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns, and then you throw in Sami Zayn, but oh wait, you got freaking Lashley, Rude, and Braun Strowman, and then you got Ziggler and...
McIntyre,
but then you throw in Breeze and Dango, and then that crosses each other out. So now you're still 6 ahead.
Now the Revival...
They weren't moved.
They were not moved. Okay, yeah. In my head, I'm wrecking
down.
We
said that they should have been moved.
Which we thought was because they lost to Hardy and Wyatt.
We thought that they should be moved because now they're just going to get buried by Authors of Pain.
Yes.
They had their shot. They didn't want to give it to them. They didn't want to pull the trigger like they did before they got hurt. So a fresh start would have been nice for them over on SmackDown. Now, maybe they do something like Cesaro did, and voice his disgruntledness and say, look, I'd be better off in this brand. And then they actually pull the trigger and they send them over because they were teasing that. That's how we got the bar.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Cesaro was so pissed off that he wasn't being utilized right. Mick Foley put him in a match, a best-of-7 series with Sheamus for a title shot.
Which was
a great idea.
It wasn't Mick Foley, but the idea itself was a great idea. And the matches were amazing. It was so good. And it's the first time, I gotta say, that Sheamus as a singles competitor has made me care and made me want to watch a Sheamus match. Because before, I really wasn't a big Sheamus fan. I thought he was just another big muscle-bound guy who couldn't work that well, and completely changed my mind when he got in there with Cesaro. They tore it up.
Cesaro will do that for pretty much everyone on the roster.
Yeah.
You want to put someone who's slacking a little bit, put him in the ring with Cesaro, and he'll make him look like gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's absolutely incredible, if you ask me.
So, I mean, there's a lot that's going to be able to go down when it comes to Monday Night Raw. You have, for the women, you have the Riot Squad coming over, and I really, really like Ruby Riot. Sarah Logan I like as well, but to a lesser degree, Liv Morgan. Not a big Liv Morgan fan. Natalya, I think, is a great addition to the women's roster on Monday Night Raw, especially what they did with...
With Rousey? With now you Rousey. Might actually get to see Rousey on Raw, actually wrestle a match on Raw and not just try and put someone in an arm bar.
And that's great, and good for her.
And she should.
And even when...
She proved herself at WrestleMania, now people are going to want to see her all the time.
The spot I liked on Monday Night Raw during the shakeup was when she squared off with Sonya Deville, and man...
That was brutal.
The hands that she put on Sonya Deville, how quick Ronda is. And she did it in Mania with Hunter, how quick she was getting the hands in there. Like, her hands are
Hunter
really quick.
Hunter sold it a hell of a lot better.
Oh, well, absolutely. But, I mean, I didn't know that her hands were that heavy.
Well, I mean, what the hell did she do before she came to WWE?
Yeah, but you know what?
How many people did she knock out?
Knock out? No, she didn't. She'd kick someone. She would kick knockout, but it was always armbar. You know what I mean? It was never, that's, you know what I mean, a lot of standing. Grappler, exactly. But I've never seen her throw her hands like that, that quickly. She is so impressive. So that impressed me a lot. And then her with Sonya Deville was insane. So, I mean, I think...
And Sonya Deville is supposed to be an MMA threat, too. And she got fed to the wolves on that one.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Which actually helps Ronda, but very, very much hurts Sonya at the same time.
Well, and
another one that you should be building up. She should have been...
Well, it's good that she's going to the other show, though. So you don't have to worry about that. That's the
kind
other
of
good thing.
Her payoff for that was, now I can go be the MMA force over somewhere else.
Exactly.
Hopefully she'll be in a title contention sometime soon.
All in all, with Monday Night Raw, I'm pretty happy. I think the roster did get a little bit better than what it was. Yes, it took a hit losing the guys it took. But like you said, there's still a plethora of guys that are going to make this really good. Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman with Reigns and Rollins.
I still feel like they're going to be guys that they're not going to know what to do with. Like, I feel like Bobby Lashley's going to get lost in the mix. They just brought him back, and I feel like he's going to get lost right away. I feel like they're not going to have... I mean, I would like to be absolutely wrong for this, but I don't know who they're going to put him with. Unless they do a Lashley-Rude tag team, and they end up going against Ziggler and... McIntyre.
Yeah.
That would be a really interesting dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I know everyone wants Rude and is dying for Rude to turn heel, but I mean...
I think, and that should happen, to be honest, like we said with the whole not a lot of heels thing.
You turn him heel and
right away.
You put him right on Seth Rollins.
There you go. I mean, or turn him heel. Well, now him and Ziggler already had their thing. So you really don't want Ziggler.
Ziggler's a heel. What the hell would you put him up against him for?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's right.
Ziggler's going to be running tag team shit where they're going to be jumping people from behind and starting feuds that way.
I really like the memes that popped up immediately afterwards. But the new two dudes with attitude, the whole Ziggler and McIntyre thing, I really like that partnership.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels finally got his diesel.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I really like them two together. And you talk about wrestling talent on one team, that they are so good.
McIntyre is not the guy when he left. He is a completely different animal now.
Yeah, he really is.
He's evolved. No play on words intended. Very, very well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, we can move over to SmackDown.
Jesus.
and who they got and who they got from Raw.
They pretty much depleted. SmackDown dumped dead weight, stagnant water. That's pretty much what they did. And they basically got A+ in return. You get rid of Jinder, you get Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
You get rid of freaking The Ascension, you get The Club.
Yeah. But then The Club was pretty stagnant on Raw because they weren't using them.
Yeah. But now you have The Club, and you can actually put them in wrestling matches instead of non-wrestling matches and have them in the back calling people nerds.
Yeah.
I got too excited on that one. Sorry. You get rid of... Who the hell else did... You get rid of Breezango, and you get The Bar back. Now, is this going to be a great time to split The Bar up? I think so. I think you send them on their ways as singles superstars. I'm just dying for a Cesaro run for singles.
I know you are. Yeah.
He's overly deserved that. He's earned it. And for him not to be a single superstar in the past year and a half is ridiculous.
Now with that, let me say this. What makes you think he's going to get it when Rusev, who deserves it just as much at this point, isn't getting it? What makes you think that Cesaro gets it?
No, with that. I'm saying he deserves it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
absolutely. I'm not saying he's going to get it.
That's what worries me with it is, you know what I mean?
I think pound for pound, the best wrestler is Cesaro.
Okay.
Out of everybody, I think Cesaro is the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why he deserves it. I know he talks with a mouthpiece now, but I think pound for pound, he is one of the strongest, but also one of the best technical wrestlers powerhouses that WWE has. And he got injured a couple times, but, I mean, he's proved his weight in gold. When he gets in the ring, he's one of the best that they have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they do have a tag team in them, but hopefully they break them up is what I'm hoping. I mean, you get R-Truth, and I mean, that's money right there. You pick up the Truth Man, and he's going to be gold. He'll be pushing for that fucking United States title once he figures out what day it is.
That was a very good in the back vignette. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, New Day sold the hell out of that
one. Yes, yeah.
Speaking of which, you still have the New Day.
Yeah.
One of the best. You still have the Usos, which they didn't jump. Everyone thought they were going to jump. They did everything they had to do, and now they're just getting brutalized by the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yes.
Bludgeon Brothers, they have still... I mean, I would love to know everyone's opinion. Given the track record of Harper and Rowan, what is the shelf life of the Bludgeon Brothers?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, are you over it already, or do you think that they found their chemistry and their gimmick, and they're going to go for the long haul? Or is this another one like, oh, God, we're going to get sick of this one real quick? Because I'm on the fence. Like, I'm almost at the point of where, all right, this is... What are we waiting for?
Yeah.
Do you have no one in the back that's going to come out and actually challenge these guys? Or are they just going to beat everyone up until we have one of the co-freaking branded pay-per-views? You're going to have Authors of Pain versus the Bludgeon Brothers, and we'll see what happens there. Mm-hmm. Because right now, if you make them this unstoppable, who's going to beat them?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a Braun Strowman effect, really.
Yeah,
but you had Braun Strowman get beat. That's what the only other thing, though.
You had him get beat, but never pinned.
Yeah.
Actually, you had him get pinned by your big doggy. Your number one stunner over on Raw.
Yeah.
He's the number one stunner. Now, we got Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville. I mean, they're strong talent. I mean, I think Sonya Deville a little bit more than Mandy Rose. Actually, yes. A good amount more than Mandy Rose. So you're picking up some talent there. You finally have Asuka that we thought was on SmackDown, but then she showed up on Raw, but now is officially on SmackDown. They did that really fucking weird.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. But now she's officially on SmackDown. Now you have one of the best women wrestlers, which is nice. I like that they separated them for now, Asuka and Ember Moon, but I think at some point they should meet again.
Absolutely, they should.
I think that they should have split Bayley and Sasha for that same reason and have them meet again down the road.
Mm-hmm.
They're still young. They're gonna burn this feud out. I know it's a fight forever mentality is one of their great taglines of, oh, so these girls can go together. We'll just keep throwing them together like they did with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
And KO, yeah.
Whenever they get stagnant with Owens and Zayn, you guys will go out and fight each other. We got nothing else for you.
Yeah.
I mean, these are talents that can go with pretty much anybody on the roster, and I'm talking about Sasha and Bayley as well. They can go with any of the women on the roster, but they run out of stuff to do. Oh, we'll go back to this feud. It's almost like they do it like that.
Yeah.
So you'll get that with probably Flair and Asuka at some point. I mean, which is nice. Now you have one of them should turn. Either maybe not Flair for now because she's going to be going after Carmelo, but I think Becky Lynch is long overdue for a...
I agree.
Immense change.
Yeah, I agree.
She can't be playing second fiddle anymore to Charlotte. Or Naomi, for that fact.
And that would make the perfect reason of
excuse. Then you get to pit Asuka up against Becky. I think that would be a great match.
Yeah.
But now you have the Iconics, the Iconic duo.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have them. I mean, you have a really strong women's division on... I think you have a stronger women's division on SmackDown than you do Raw.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
You have...
Absolutely.
A champion that might not get beat for a while, too.
Mm-hmm.
Unless someone... I mean, unless they cheat to win.
Yeah.
Unless they're Eddie Guerrero. Or.
Yeah.
But I didn't even get to the biggest names yet.
No.
Of why SmackDown lit it up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll start medium and go high. I mean, you got the Miz.
Of course.
Miz comes over. He's A. Mm-hmm. A talent. I don't think he's the best heel that they have, but he's one of them. And now you have new opportunities for him. Then you get, which I think was great on their part, and now you set up a feud with the New Day right away in Sanity.
Yeah.
They just come out.
That's a big one. That's the one that might have turned the tide, really, to be honest.
So they come and just start wreaking havoc, and then you put them up against the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, exactly. Because
if you have someone that's going to wreak havoc, why not do it against someone else who thinks that they could wreak havoc?
And Wolf and Dane,
yes.
they're two that's going to make sense.
Dane especially can go.
Yeah.
And I don't care how big the Bludgeon Brothers are, Dane's bigger.
Yeah.
And he can move better. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not better than Harper, but he can move good.
Yeah.
And then you get another A+. You get fucking CN. You got Andrade Almas,
mm-hmm,
coming up from NXT, former champion. He's got no glass ceiling right now. You could put him with anybody on the card, and now you draw more eyes to the main card because now you finally have that Latino presence,
mm-hmm,
to draw more eyes to him. I mean, then you bring up his manager, Zelina Vega.
Yes.
Who's not bad to look at either.
No,
and she's a great heel manager.
Yeah, she is really
good. So you get them two. I mean, just think, and I put this up on Twitter last night, Almas jumps right in against Hardy, and then you have lightning in a bottle right there.
Yeah. You want to talk about a good feud there.
A good feud? I mean, it's for a title, which, I mean, he hasn't technically earned on the main card yet, but, mm-hmm, I mean, look at the lineup. I mean, he's as good as anybody else, so he could deserve it just as much as anyone else. And then you get the biggest name that I don't think you get a big guy and a big cast, but
yeah.
I wasn't really too excited about that because I really wasn't too excited about him when he was with Enzo. I really wasn't that excited about him when he turned heel finally. And now that he's Colin Cassidy a heel again over on SmackDown, I'm still not overly,
you're not sold on
I'm
him.
Not overly sold. I mean, he's not good on the mic. He's not really great at promos. He's a big guy who can throw a big boot.
Yeah, and not only that, it...
And he's got less character than the Big Show. I mean, the Big Show already did that.
True. And they put him at what seems like it's going to be a main push right against Daniel Bryan.
Which is not who I wanted to see Daniel Bryan up against right away. Truthfully, I wanted freaking Pete Dunne to come up, and I wanted Pete Dunne versus Daniel Bryan. I think, of anybody, you should have freaking brought the UK Championship.
Yeah.
That would be... That's money all day. Or you bring the UK Championship and let him float around.
Yeah. Now, the point I want to make about Daniel Bryan and WWE SmackDown...
Okay.
And I'm going to get a lot of heat for this.
You're only going to get heat from the people that listen.
Yeah. I think I'm going to get it from you, too.
Oh, okay. Well, then that I accept.
I don't think Daniel Bryan's that good on the mic. I really don't.
No, you're not going to catch heat. He's not great on the mic.
I don't think he's... Look, and the guy's very good. He's very, very athletic. But he's
one of your best in-ring workers.
He's... Yeah, and that's the thing, but...
The Miz will tear him down on the mic, but...
That's the thing.
Bryan will absolutely destroy him in the ring.
Other people are what bring his feuds to the mainstream. Like, you're not going to watch a Daniel Bryan feud and be brought to it because Daniel Bryan sucked you in. You're going to get there and the match will wow you because of how good Daniel Bryan is. But, like... The other feuds that he's been in, such as the Triple H one, like
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton's another one. It was because of the people.
His antagonist.
You know what I mean?
He was put with top heels in the company. Triple H.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the Authority feud, of course.
One of the best.
Yeah.
At what he does, Randy Orton is an immaculate heel, and he made that feud. He elevated that even more when he cashed in that briefcase against Daniel Bryan when he beat Cena.
Yes.
And, I mean, you're right in a sense that he isn't the best on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
He's had great heels to work with when he's getting pushed. With that being said, I don't think AJ Styles is great on the mic. But
he's not.
He gets awkward at times.
Very awkward, yes.
So and that's part of the writing, and it's part of the way he portrays his promos and the way he speaks in the ring.
And maybe it is because he's scripted. That could be the other thing.
It could be too, but they might think that he needs to be scripted because he hasn't proven that he can go out and do what The Miz does or do what Kevin Owens does or do what Samoa Joe does.
Yeah.
Who is the biggest name that got traded. I'll touch on that in a mm-hmm. second. But you can't tell me that two guys that aren't good on the mic, like a Daniel Bryan versus an AJ Styles, wouldn't automatically be the top feud in company.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, and that's not what I mean. It's just...
You think that he's elevated with the heels he's worked with.
Yeah, but I think that's anybody on the biggest thing.
That's anybody on the roster. If you're going to tell me that Roman Reigns is going to light you up on the mic and you're going to be interested for a feud, no. But if you're going to put him against Samoa Joe, who is great in the ring, yes.
Yeah.
But he will absolutely light him up on the mic, which he's done the past 2 weeks. And before he got hurt, he did too. That's what's going to make you interested in that Roman Reigns Samoa Joe feud.
Yeah, but I mean, I think other guys...
You need that person.
Like a... But see, Seth Rollins is not like that. Seth Rollins is...
Seth Rollins is a hybrid of where he's really good at a lot of things. Is he the best at everything? No. I don't think Seth Rollins is the best on the mic. He draws a great reaction from the crowd. He's a great smartass. He's probably a better heel than he is a babyface
mm-hmm.
because he can play the arrogant wrestler.
Yeah, very well.
Very well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there isn't this perfect mesh of wrestler that exists.
Oh, no. I mean, yeah, that by no means is there anyone...
Unless you're Cody Rhodes.
Or Chris Jericho.
So.
You're welcome.
I mean, he sets the bar so high. Actually, The Rock probably did too.
Yeah, The Rock, yeah.
But you're not going to get those guys.
No, they're but like, yeah, they're few are, and far between.
They
yeah.
are the prototypical once-in-a-lifetime.
It's funny that we're saying that about Cody Rhodes. You know what I mean? Now, like, if you 3 years ago, he would have said this.
Do you see what happens
what I mean?
When Cody Rhodes is given what he wants to do?
Absolutely. And I completely
put,
agree with
and
you.
And not put in a goofy role where he's not 100% in it, where you could tell. Stardust, he was fucking overweight by, like, 25 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could tell that when his heart's not into it. He was into it a little bit with Sandow. He was into it a little bit when he was first with... Goldust when he didn't have the Stardust
yes.
makeup on.
Yeah.
You could tell when he's into it. He's really, really good. When he was going against Sandow, when Sandow had the briefcase,
mm-hmm.
that was really good. When he's invested, now he's 100% invested in himself because he has to be. He got to a point of where
this is his living. If he doesn't get it, he doesn't, you know what I mean?
He can't lay off the throttle. And that should be everyone's mentality, honestly. I mean, if you lay off the throttle a little bit, you get pushed back to the mid-card, or you get pushed back out of complete contention. Like,
and the only problem with that is in WWE, the reason you live like that in WWE...
You get stifled
by booking. It doesn't matter. Yes, exactly.
You get stifled by booking a lot. Exactly, it doesn't matter. You can have your foot on the throttle. You could be riding a great... I wouldn't even call Rusev Day a gimmick. It is a gimmick. It's a word. It's a catch. I call it a catchphrase.
It is.
We'll call it a catchphrase. But you're riding that. It's hard to come out and actually 100% go with this when you know you're coming out to get knocked out and knocked out of the ring and not even be involved in the final of a match.
Yeah.
Like him and Aiden English were in the main event of SmackDown and they didn't even matter at this point because you knew Shinsuke Nakamura was coming out. You didn't know that...
Excuse me.
A big cast was coming out, but still, I mean, Rusev wasn't even involved really in the finishing of the match.
No, and they were in the match. Like, yeah, they were the opponent.
Yeah, they were the legit opponent, and they built this match up. You're going to get Rusev Day versus AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan, which is a great match. I mean, Aiden English to make it to the main event of a SmackDown says a lot to him, mm-hmm. but it doesn't say as much when you're not going to have the actual match.
Yeah,
because you just push those two guys aside to. Someone that you want to push more, like Big Cass.
Mm-hmm.
Big Cass don't deserve it. And
not yet, no.
No, he doesn't. No. He doesn't deserve it. Not more than Rusev.
No.
He's not better than Rusev. Rusev's funny. He could be a great heel. He could probably be a great face if they would let him commit to it.
Yeah.
It's just what you get stifled if you're not the guy, quote unquote.
And that's the problem. And that's why if Cody's not, doing as well as he is. And guys like... And guys like Cody who feel
creative
that...
Creative freedom.
Exactly. They know that where they can get in WWE, but they're just blocked by that ceiling to where they can't get there. I mean, guys like Ziggler. I think WWE has crushed Ziggler's passion for this company.
Absolutely.
Or this profession, I should say.
He's on record saying it numerous times.
Yeah.
He comes back and he does really well, but... He comes back because he gets the paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not making it as a comedian right now. Now, he's not lighting the world on fire. He's sometimes funny, but...
What's paying
his bills is traveling with WWE and collecting his $1 million paycheck now.
And that's the shame of it, is that you have a guy who's so good in the ring.
And he's really good on the mic, too.
Yes. And you book him so poorly to where you kill a man's passion... The same thing with CM Punk. They did the same thing for Punk. You know what I mean? You talk about a guy who was passionate about something. He lived wrestling. You know what I mean? He was Mr. Indies, Mr. ROH. and came to WWE.
He did everything that he needed to do in everything that he did, that he finally got to the big show and got stifled. And got stifled. And finally, when fucking everything fell into his... all the chips lined up, the stars aligned, whatever you want to say. Some people got hurt. He finally got his push, like, years later. I mean, it sucked that Edge got hurt. Edge was out of the picture. You had... who were you going to push? You had Cena, so you were pushing him. You had fucking Alberto Del Rio, which... They pushed him. They pushed him.
Well, not only that, and then you have Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, well, that will always be their problem, and that will always... and it's going to always happen. Roman Reigns will retire, but Roman Reigns will come back as the special attraction.
Yeah.
He's not going to be nearly as a special attraction as Brock is.
No.
Goldberg, The Rock. If Austin could still do it, he'd be the biggest guy that they would just continue to bring back and win the title just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a huge misstep, and that was basically the end for CM Punk.
Yes.
He had the title. He held it for the record amount of time. Now you're going to have another part-timer come in, hold the title, beat CM Punk's, another Heyman guy, go figure.
Yeah.
Beat CM Punk's record. Punk defended that at every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Punk was in there with fucking goofballs like Ryback. Yeah. He made Ryback a valuable contender. Fucking That's Ryback. How good he was. Ryback should have been mid-card. And you saw what happened after Punk left.
Yeah.
He was fighting Kalisto
on the pre-show.
On the pre-show for the freaking United States title. Yeah. That was a disservice to the title.
Yep.
And Kalisto.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And all this started from saying there's not the perfect superstar.
There isn't, though.
There really isn't.
There isn't the perfect superstar. Kevin Owens is close, but Kevin Owens doesn't have the look that everyone wants. I don't care about the look of the wrestler. I just care about what he can say.
If they can deliver the mic and in the ring.
The feeling I get when he says something or she says something, and the wow factor that you get in the ring.
Yeah.
And, wow, this is a really well-put-together match. And this is these guys... are going full bore, and girls are going full bore. They have it. And there's close. I mean, I think at the WWE, the closest that they have is Kevin Owens.
As far as...
to the complete package.
Complete package.
Of in-ring skills and on-mic skills. You have Balor, who's got great in-ring skills, but I don't connect with him that well on the mic. I don't think he's that great. I feel the same way with face Rollins. Heel Rollins is... really, really good,
and he's close to perfection.
Yes, yeah. He is. He's got all the intangibles. He just has a weak knee.
Yeah,
and as long as he can fix that weak knee and not do anything to it, then he is your closest. But I mean, the face one, he's corny. I mean, all these face guys are corny.
Yeah, you need, if you're gonna have a face be very good, you need it to be a guy, and I'm gonna make the comparison of a baby face. You know what? Even Shawn Michaels coming out, he was not a great face. He had the arrogant.
He was the pretty boy.
Yeah, he was the arrogant heartbreak kid type, but really wasn't that good. Even 1-2-3 kid, you talk about a face. You know what I mean? He was this little baby faced guy who beat Razor Ramon. But even him, he wasn't a great... like, you, there's not many people that come in and are just perfect baby faces like Hulk Hogan.
Sting.
And Sting. There's another one. Sting was a very good baby face.
He was always
baby And face. Same thing with Hogan. His whole career until 97.
You had a great baby face, and then you had an even better turn in Bret Hart.
Yes.
He was a great baby face, but he was a fucking really, really good heel too, and his brother was really good too.
Yeah,
Owen Hart was better heel than Bret was.
Oh, by far, absolutely.
But they were both incredible in the ring. That whole Hart Dungeon approach and technical masterpieces that they would put together. I mean, right now you have really good wrestlers.
Yes.
You have Charlotte, who's skyrocketing herself. Above and beyond almost everybody else.
Yeah.
You're seeing that slow separation of Charlotte just being the best. She's also getting a lot more time to do it. You're getting to see her spotlighted a lot more. But from what I see, I don't know if anyone else could do it just as well as she does.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Not even Sasha, not Bayley. I mean, Asuka's really good in the ring, but she's lacking that connection with everybody.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're right with Charlotte. She is making that separation, and it's happening
The rumor mill is a churning. There we go. Another legacy might be coming into WWE very shortly.
I heard this
I'm hoping after the 28th of this month.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen that
fast. She's still got dates that she has to fulfill, so I think we still will get to see her. But that would be a dynamite feud right off the bat just because of the history of their fathers is Tessa Blanchard.
Yes.
And she is incredible in the ring.
She really is. And if anyone hasn't seen her, you got to find an independent event she's at and see, because
either go see her or she'll be
check out her matches on the Mae Young Classic.
For
the WWE Network, that at least you get to see a couple.
If you got an Amazon Prime account, you can go back on Wrestle Circus and watch her match with Chelsea Green.
Yes,
that was really good.
Was a really good match. And yeah, like you said, she's on Twitch.
I'm surprised she's not in the company yet. And if she goes to NXT, bah humbug on their part. They're only doing that because they have nothing at NXT right now. But she comes to WWE, that's main card ready right away.
Yeah, I agree. And I was surprised, like you just said. I was surprised how she didn't get a contract. Exactly.
She worked her ass off and got to where she's at right now, where she's recognized by almost anybody who knows about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't watch the indies or the smaller promotions, you know about her. She's gotten to that point. When she was at the Mae Young Classic, she wasn't at that point yet. She was still grinding.
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me in that sense that she didn't get a contract, but...
And how long ago was the Mae Young Classic? What?
It was a year and a half.
A year and a half? Almost 2 years at this point? So, I mean, and so since then, she's been working her ass off in independence. And,
That's how it is.
Absolutely.
Why do you think we have Aleister Black right now?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, but that's the thing, is that we get to see her, you know, in a little bit more than a week, next Saturday, the 28th.
In Philly.
Yeah, in Northeast Philly, in this Beyond Wrestling event.
And, which this is going to be our first one we actually get to go to, which is exciting.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Matt Riddle's going to be on the card as well.
King of Bros.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the
LAX is going to be there as well. It's another really good one.
You can check them out Impact. On Pop, on Impact.
Yeah.
But Riddle was one of those guys for me that when I first... Because I didn't first see him live. When I first saw him, I was like, oh, God. Because that's what it does. The MMA crossover it puts this stigma in my head where I'm like, I'm not going to like this. And then I finally saw him live, and I was like, all right, I'm getting more into it. And then he puts on a great match. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I can meet. And then I see him against Aries, and that was a hell of a match. And then 2 weekends ago on the WrestleMania weekend, I see him against Zack Sabre Jr., and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm overly sold on this guy now, because that was an incredible match. And then I watched a couple others with him where he fucking... Oh, it was him versus Ospreay.
Yes, yeah.
I want him... I do and I don't. There's some guys that I do really want to see hit mainstream WWE, but I also really don't, because I'm so afraid of how they're going to be treated when they come up. Like, Marty Scurll's got it for me. Like, he's got the intangibles. He's got a great gimmick. He owns the gimmick. I mean, you bring him over, I just think that he'll get the pop. He'll get the reaction. He'll get everything you want to get out of a guy, and he'll just get stifled.
You're right. And it's the same worry we have about the Young Bucks. Being such big Young Buck fans that we are, that's the one thing that both of us have said.
If they're worried about merch pushers, these guys will do it for you.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
And Triple H is sitting back there with his hands like a fucking evil, like Dr. Evil, just rubbing his hands together.
Like Montgomery Burns.
Yes.
Just excellent.
Exactly.
Go!
He's just sitting back there. He's like, all right, when do I... I mean, I got him on speed dial. I might as well give him a call eventually. I just gotta wait.
The old man to walk away. The old man to turn his head.
I just gotta wait for the perfect time, and then I can call him. I just don't want to sound too desperate when I call them. I mean, fucking Omega's got an open invitation whenever he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
Per Triple H.
Yeah.
All he has to do is say, I want to come over. That's another one. Any of these guys that come over, they lose their creative freedom. They're now put in the system. They're now a number.
Yeah. And you know what? That's the other part of me that looks at what we're watching as far as independence, as far as New Japan and Impact. And I want them to build their companies up more, especially Impact. And I want them to be more competition just to make WWE better and just push WWE a little bit. Ooh. No one wants to, I'm not saying to go for people's jobs and put people out of business. That's not what it should be.
That's not what the industry should be at all. Everyone, I mean, here's the thing. This is what happened that I responded to a tweet the other day with this exact same thing, that this has happened before to WWE. A main competitor had elevated themselves to where they were stealing their ratings. So what happened? They crushed them.
Mm-hmm.
They found a way. They persevered through it. And then they bought them out and they crushed them.
But
I do not think that should be the case with wrestling. I do not think that, because you're in it for the money. Yes, the guys in the back, the guys that are running the company, they're in it for the money. But the fans suffer tremendously when it's not a good competition. It's a competition of, all right, well, we're going to bury them. We're going to bury them. We have billions of dollars. We're going to bury them. What's that? Oh, fucking Impact starting to buy out people. They're starting to look legit. All right, well, we're going to start throwing cheap shots and...
Well, and that's the thing. That's what
looking to expose them for what they're not.
That's what can't happen again. If it happens, what has to happen is, all right, this is competition, and you have to blame Ted Turner with what happened then.
Bischoff.
He's the one. Well, Ted Turner's the first one. He's the one who wanted, how can I compete with Vince? You know what I mean? How can I do that? And that's where it started. And then, of course, Bischoff escalated it. But you can't look to it as, all right, I just want to beat them and crush them and put them out of business. Let's look at it as, okay, look, there's competition there. We have competition. Who can put on the better show? At the end of the night, someone wins, someone loses. We start over the next night. Like, it should be a partnership, but a competitive partnership.
Well, here's the thing. No one outside of WWE, no other promotion is thinking like that right now. They want to get as good as possible. They're worried about themselves. They're not worried about competing with the juggernaut of WWE. What I would like on the flip side is for Vince to get his head out of his ass and realize, I could benefit from this too. I can make an ass load of dollars doing what Ring of Honor is doing and not partnering, but doing a co-event with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Such as like a Supercard of Honor.
Something like that where you... Fuck, they go to Japan and they wrestle and they really sell out the...
Tokyo Dome.
Yep. Oh my God, they might have to build a wing on and blow out the ceiling and add more seating for what you would see. You would get... You would make so much money. Bring them over here and sell out... I don't know. Name a big stadium. Sell it out.
So I mean, I'm thinking outdoor stadiums right away.
Yeah, no,
and like the big house in Michigan that holds 100,000 easy. Dallas's dome holds 100,000.
I would think more Dallas, depending on what time of year.
Minnesota,
the new Atlanta place.
Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy.
You gotta go.
There's so many of them.
You gotta go with the places that would do it. Cali would probably be your first choice, or something close to California. You find a big venue there, Staples Center, you would sell that out in a heartbeat. But you would get the matchups of I said this on Twitter too. This dream match scenario that is being completely run into the ground and overused to an abundant amount now, this is what this would be for. This would be your dream match. Like, you do an event maybe once and like every year or every 2 years, you would get your Roman Reigns versus your Okada, and you would get that match.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be your blockbuster match. Or you would get Okada versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Well, Lesnar wrestled in New Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, he fought.
Yeah, of course.
He fought Shinsuke Nakamura, and he's wrestled these guys. You would get Naito versus Seth Rollins.
That'd be a ridiculous.
You would
match.
Get matches. This would be, and you would sell T-shirts. You wouldn't be able to fucking make enough T-shirts to sell. You'd be selling out everywhere, online, at the venue, everywhere.
Yes.
This is all money, and I know you don't want to do it because you don't want to give anyone else exposure. Because now you just gave, oh my God, you put them on our TV, And now you get exposed to these guys. Guess what? People already know about them.
Yeah, you're this, not. These guys, this isn't new.
These guys aren't a secret. It might be New Japan Pro Wrestling, but they're not new. No. They've been around for quite some time. Yep. They used to do this with, back in WCW. Where, that's where you got Great Muta versus Sting.
Yes.
You got stuff like that. Like, there should be everything. History repeats itself. So why not repeat itself and benefit everybody? Not just yourselves.
Well, and that's the thing, is that...
And they're doing that with the UK guys, but they're bringing them in on their own. They're not... I mean, they're letting... Like, Pete Dunne gets to wrestle in different promotions, putting up the WWE UK Championship.
Yes.
Like, that's exposure for them. But that you best not believe that someone's going to come in with their heavyweight title. Like, you're not going to see Dalton Castle roll in with the Ring of Honor Championship and fight Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen, but we'll send them out and they'll get exposure for us. But what they need to do, what I wish that they don't need to do it. They don't have to do anything that I say. I'm just an asshole. But what they should do, what would be great, you would absolutely murder it. But you don't do it all the time. You do it once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Obviously, I don't think that they would do it with Ring of Honor.
No, I don't think they would either.
That they would do it with Impact. I don't think that they have the talent. Not the talent. I don't think that they have the depth.
Yeah.
They could definitely get great matches, but your money is in New Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, it is. But now, with that, how you said, you can't do it with Ring of Honor.
I don't think that they would. I don't think that...
But if you did it, because how close New Japan and Ring of Honor are as far as their partnership goes. You got guys
with multi-contracts.
Yeah. But if you were to do it that way and do a Ring of Honor New Japan versus WWE, you know what I mean, and do a pay-per-view,
you can do that would be your 7-hour event.
Yeah,
that would be your real WrestleMania.
Exactly,
and you could find the way to put in WrestleMania, Wrestle Kingdom, add the words together, Kingdom Mania or something.
Yeah,
and that would be, you would get your Elite versus the New Day, or your Bucks versus the Usos. You would be able to put so many other... You wouldn't be able to freaking print money fast enough to generate it and hand it out to the people that are... These tickets would go for thousands of dollars in the front row, box seats. I mean, your upper level seats would be like $200, $300. People would be flocking from all over the world to come to this, just like they do for New Japan when they come over here. They're selling out $5,000 arena. If you put them on the same stage with WWE, but you have a co-event where you know that WWE is not just going to squash these guys.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be money, but
you get a punishment Martinez versus Braun Strowman match. That'd be a great match.
I just, like we said, the old man is not doing it.
No, he's
Hunter,
not.
Hunter, you can see Hunter doing it, but I can't see the old man doing it.
And here's the thing. They leave, they go back to Japan, and you just created history. You've just opened the door. You peace-piped it to frickin' the future of wrestling. You've just elevated the standard of wrestling 120%.
Yeah, big time. And it's what all fans would love to see. And even the diehard WWE fans who are just closed off to the WWE, you open their eyes, and maybe that's what Vince is scared
of. That's what he's
scared of. Why he doesn't want to.
Well, who are these guys? But they're not going to... Here's the thing. They don't... The diehards are in it for the entertainment purpose. The guys that are cutting great promos or doing funny things, these guys aren't going to connect with the diehards as much as WWE would think.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
That's why Shinsuke didn't hit right away. That's why Asuka didn't hit right away. That's why Hideo Itami... Akira Tozawa, these guys don't hit right away. They're not like your homegrown talent that they push either, like the Roman Reignses and the Lesnars and the Ortons.
Yeah, you're right.
Guys like that.
No, you're absolutely right.
You come over, you have competitive matches, you put on some of the best wrestling matches that could possibly... You show why, and even then, like, okay, Ring of Honor did it, we'll do it, but we'll do it better.
Yeah, but that's the other thing that you got to look at if you're Vince... And anyone else. And we keep saying Vince because
he's the head honcho.
It's the head honcho, and it's the overall thought that he doesn't want anyone paying attention to any other wrestling company but his. Because of the, I'm going to say, quote-unquote, cease and desist of the Too Sweet and stuff like that. And not
that
wanting,
work.
not wanting fans to chant too sweet, or not wanting them to chant one fall after, like, things like they like that that they do on the independents and they do at Ring of Honor and all that, that he doesn't like. That's the one thing why we're saying Vince doesn't want that.
He has no problem when they come over and sign a full contract with them and make money for him, though.
Exactly. Yes, you're right. But, I mean...
Just don't bring your stupid indie gimmick with you.
Yeah. With all that, they are not going to watch this combination of an event, and then after it's over, the next night go, you know what? I'm never watching WWE again. No, we love wrestling regardless of what it is. We're gonna watch WWE just like we're gonna watch Ring of Honor, just like we're gonna watch New Japan, and then go to the
Indies. Let me cancel my subscription to the network, and I'll go sign up for New Japan World.
Yeah, because it's not gonna happen that way. Not only that, Monday and Tuesday are WWE days. No one else does it. No one else but WWE.
They stay away.
Ring of Honor does Sunday nights. Impact is on
Thursday
nights. So they have their own nights. So every night we're watching a different style of wrestling, whether you like it or not. So what's the big deal if you have them? You have your night set. They have their night set. Let's just all be one wrestling nation and watch every wrestling we can get our hands on and enjoy it, instead of having to be this competitor and having to act like we don't watch it to WWE and we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous and asinine, if you ask me.
It just won't happen now. And will it ever happen? We don't know. But if it did, it would really revolutionize mainstream wrestling. You would be creating something that should have been done a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean,
we've talked your freaking ears off.
What we have left
in our tanks.
Yeah, next week, next Friday afternoon, Eastern time at 12 p.m., is the Greatest Royal Rumble from Saudi Arabia.
Yes, the 27th.
Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop here today, and our next show we will be diving into
the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yes, and we're that way by that time we should have almost a full card 2 days before.
You would hope. I mean, that was bizarre as all hell when they would change it. They changed it to Undertaker, Rusev, and a casket match.
Which
and
was then the they, first announcement. And
which
then,
was great. And then everyone, they're going to bury Rusev, and then Rusev started to chime in and actually feed into that mentality. And then you get, that's the case. You're going to get Jericho versus
The Undertaker.
And then the people over in Saudi Arabia are like, we got Jericho versus the Undertaker. Yeah. And they were freaking even more pumped than which who wouldn't be?
Yes.
You get the fucking Ayatollah, Rock and Roll, and the Dead Man.
Yes.
And then they fucking changed it back.
Yeah, and the report is, Lana said it's all right now, so that's why WWE changed it.
Here's the thing.
What the fuck is that?
I don't want to get too much into it. I want to save it for the next show. But sometimes, no, not sometimes. A lot of times, they just don't, it just looks like they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yes.
It looks like they're just so, like, flippy-floppy, and you're just like, I don't know if this is planned, if this is a work, or if this is just, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll talk about that more next week, and hopefully we have
more
participants than we do now, as far as how many of the 50 guys and who the 50 guys are. And then the singles matches, and the tag team matches that we're going to have. So all
that. I don't
think
you're going to have many. I think this 50-man Royal Rumble is going to eat up at least 2.5 hours of your time.
Yeah, but I mean, you still got the title match for the Raw.
I'm saying you're not going to get a stacked card. You're going to get a 50-man Royal Rumble.
Well, yeah,
you're
of
You're not going to have that many people doing double duty, I don't think.
No.
But I have been wrong before. They're trying to really go big over here, so you'll probably see. Oh, wait, they're going to have every title defended, aren't they?
Yes, seven. Yeah. Yeah, there's seven title matches.
So you got the four-way for the four-way ladder match for the IC title, which you've already eliminated one competitor from it.
Yes.
In Samoa Joe.
You have the...
Unless he brings it back, that would be freaking...
You have both titles on the line?
You don't...
Yeah, both big titles?
Both big titles. Probably Shinsuke versus Styles, you would think. Unless they try and go big money, then you do... Well, we don't know what big money is over there. That could be Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles.
Yeah. Yeah, both tag titles.
Yeah, you already know you got Roman and Brock.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's fine there.
That's going to be the Bludgeon
The only
Brothers.
Thing we're not going to see is we're not going to see a woman compete, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean,
we're not going to see any women compete.
Rules
that.
Are rules over there, and you got to respect the culture.
Yeah.
So, if that's the way that it happens over there, then so be it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're going to get. You don't know what's going to happen with the U.S. title yet. You'll probably get some sort of triple threat match because they're going to try and beef it up and make it as appealing to the masses because that's really what you're shooting for over there. You're making it appealing to the masses. And focus.
Yeah. And? I mean, it's going to be a big-ass card. And from what I'm hearing, it's at least going to be another 5-hour
Oh, yeah.
Show.
Absolutely.
So it should be pretty good.
It should be packed with surprises, you would think. Now you know Jericho's going to be there. He's going to be in the Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
which kind of spoils it a little bit, but still, I mean, it's going to be great.
You hear his music and you're going to pop anyway.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's going to be fun. One thing for us on the East Coast is come 12 o'clock, we're going to have to shut off our Twitter and not pay attention because we want to see it live. When it comes home.
I think I got strep throat.
The call out day at work?
It might be a leave early day. I did take a lunch. Does that mean I can leave 3.5 hours early? Because, you know, my lunches usually last 3.5 hours. I usually have an 11-course meal at lunchtime. So it all equates, right?
Yeah,
fuck
sure.
It, I'm salary. Get me out of here. I got some wrestling to watch.
So until then, if you liked what you heard and... You want to chime in and...
Please, we're begging you. Now, we don't like to beg often, but go on iTunes. We are now on iTunes. Listen to us. Give us a rating. We look pathetic on iTunes right now. You have to help us out. Make us look not as pathetic,
also,
but still kind of pathetic.
Also, follow us on Twitter at 215Wrestling. Give us a follow there as well. If not... but all in all, we hope you guys have a great week, and we will be talking to you next week and looking at the Greatest Royal Rumble card.
Yep, that's what we're gonna do.
So everyone have a great week, and we hope you enjoyed the show.
Later!